Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading from Ecclesiastes 5 would be fairly easy to turn into a kind of a moralism, almost an encouragement to live safely, prudently. And, to be honest, there's a reason why that would be easy. That sort of thing is right on the surface of the reading itself. Money doesn't satisfy. Don't put your water into a leaky vessel. Stop and smell the roses. At the risk of revealing my approximate age, I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. On one level, it's just sort of truth that everybody knows just by observing life. And we might recall, actually, that the wisdom literature of Israel does have things in common with, for instance, the wisdom literature of Egypt. But that's the point. Ecclesiastes belongs to the wisdom literature of Israel. And so it is therefore also scripture for Christians. And it must be read in light of what the God of Israel has done and how he has revealed himself, especially in the person of Jesus. In light of what God has done for his people, for us, in Jesus, this reading actually becomes more important. It becomes more stern. It becomes more radical. Because it speaks of the folly, the utter vanity, and the grievous evil of taking things which are second in importance, or third, or fourth, and making them first. And look what you're left with. Possessions have no ultimate value. They have value in that they point us to the God who gives, and they sustain us in our physical life as God's creatures, and they can give us gladness. Easy enough. But we live, as we all know, in a culture in which dissatisfaction has become a god, where more is always better, and where the gravitational power of accumulation sucks us into spending our time and our energy and my worry into getting and maintaining obscene amounts of stuff. And to that, the preacher, Solomon, has a very simple slap-in-the-face sort of response. He says, "When you came into the world, you were naked. And when you die, you will leave the world, and you will be naked." Idols are not to be toyed with. They are, in fact, to be overthrown. So, how do I know? How do I know if I'm working on toppling over the idols in my life? Yesterday, my friend and brother, Professor Seleska, invited us to a profound reflection on Jesus' teaching in Mark 10. Camels and eyes of needles, rich men and the reign of God. Look in the mirror, look out the window. A profound reflection. This morning, I'm going to take a bit of a simpler approach. In some ways, I'm a simple kind of guy. So the question, how do I know if I'm working on toppling the idols of things? How do I know if I'm trying to keep second things second where they belong? I have a suggestion. Give something away. So I'm actually suggesting that. I've already decided what I'm going to give away. No, I won't tell you. But I invite all of you to identify something that you've been wastefully wanting and stop wanting it. Put your finger on something in your life that has become too important, some possession that you have or that you want, and demote it, knock it over, set it aside, sell it. Better yet, take that resource or that energy or whatever it was going to be and give it to your neighbor. Your neighbor is in need. Be free from that specific piece of vanity. Be free from that specific grievous evil. Because we all need to learn again that God's gifts are just that. They are God's gifts. They are not ours. They are His, and everything is to point to God, to Christ, and His goodness. This is not asceticism. This is not some sort of vow of poverty. We are creatures. We need food. We need a certain amount of stuff. But you know you, and I know me. And it gets in the way. And, happily, there are more important things to do. There are vastly more important things to think about and to rejoice in. And there's work to be done for Christ. There's ministry to be carried out. Not so that we might succeed or that we might advance or, God forbid, that our standard of living might increase. No. It's all Christ, and He is everything. And in light of Christ, our daily bread is a joy, a delight, and our ministries are beautiful and challenging and incredibly important. Equally important, we might say. No ministry more important than others. Since all comes from Christ. No comparison, no ambition, no grasping. Only gifts, only Christ. Everything is Christ. So, I invite you to decide how, in some small, meaningful way, you are going to put a stick in the eye of our culture and of your own flesh. To turn, as the reading teaches us, from vanity and from grievous evil. I invite you to live in the shadow of the wings of the God of Israel, to serve in the truth that is Christ. And when God gives you food and clothing and stuff, then let it always be stuff that reminds you of Him. Because the glory is His, now and forever, not unto us. We'll sing stanza 4. Amen.